O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, when buried with Jesus, a pardon receives. Praise the Lord. Let us never forget that, what Jesus has done for us. Would you do me a favor? If you have been to a restaurant this week, would you raise your hand? If you have been to a grocery store this week, would you raise your hand? Or any kind of store. If you have gone out and met a friend that is not a Christian this week, would you raise your hand? Why are there so many cards still on that shelf back there? We've had those there for a long time. There's just 1,000 of them. And there's, what, 60 of us that are old enough and have the opportunities to hand those out. Those things should have been gone a long time ago. So I hope you'll pick them up. And if you're all right with it, put your name and number on it. All you have to do is set it on the table when you're at the restaurant. All you have to do is hand it to the cashier as you're leaving. And it'll make a difference. So I hope that you'll do that. We've been talking about on different Sunday mornings, about the church. And again, just to rehash a little bit, the reason it's up there in Greek is not to be fancy, but to send us a message, to remind us that who we are trying to be is not who the churches of Christ look like in the 21st century. What a church a few miles from here does and says and believes, that's not what we're trying to emulate. What the greatest preacher of our time says, I guess that would be me, I'm not sure. What I say doesn't matter in the end. But it's what God says. And we saw in the epistles of John that as false teaching arise and as the churches started to do different things and believe different things, and the Apostle Paul said the same thing, go back to the beginning. If someone teaches you something different, if someone does something that's not according to our teaching, let that person be accursed. Do not receive that person into your house. Don't condone their actions. Don't act like you're in agreement with something that's contradictory to what we have told you. John said, go back to the beginning if you want to be the church of Christ. And so that's what we've been talking about. It's going back to the beginning. In the last lesson in the series, we looked at baptism and the church. And there's a lot of different opinions about baptism today. But what we saw when we went back to the beginning is that baptism is deeply connected with the church. It's connected with the church because it's connected with Christ's blood. And the church was bought with the blood of Christ. It's connected with the church because to be in the church is to be in Christ. And if you want to be in Christ, the Scriptures say we're baptized into Christ. And on the things that we looked at in that lesson. And so we're going back to the beginning. What is the church? What does it mean for us to be in the church? What are we supposed to be doing as the church? And what I want to talk about today is the simplicity of the church. You look around at all the different churches today. Churches of Christ, Baptist churches, all of them that proclaim to follow Christ. And many times, what we see in the New Testament when we go back to the beginning is not what we see today. Programs and buildings and all of these activities and other things that are going on. And sometimes those things are not even wrong within themselves, but they're wrong because of the attitude that Christians have towards them. And so what I want us to do today is I want us to ask ourselves this question. Do we view Christ's church through the lens of modern religion or through Jesus? Through what it was like days of the apostles. And the lesson this morning is going to be fairly simple, and the majority of it's going to be taken from Acts chapter 2. That makes sense, right? A simple lesson talking about the simplicity of the church. But Acts chapter 2, we noted in our first lesson, was the beginning of the beginning. That doesn't mean that everything we need to know we can find out in this episode of Pentecost, but it recognized here was the beginning when the apostles started their work. And so the beginning died when the apostles died. The beginning is tied to Jesus and the apostles. But when you go back to Acts chapter 2 and the apostles preach that sermon there, and the first people are converted to Christ. Look at what it says in verse 41. "So then, those who had received His word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." They received the word, they heard the gospel, and again, baptism. They recognized, this is what I need to do to begin my relationship with God. This is what I need to do to become a part of the new covenant, to become a part of God's kingdom. They received His word, they were baptized, and as a result of that, they were added to the church. So here's the beginning. And what we have right after this verse, what I believe, is not just what they did within the first week of becoming Christians, or the first week of the establishment of the church, but what I believe we have Luke doing for us there is describing, summarizing, and here's what the church was. Here's what they did. And I think that's the rest of Acts chapter 2. And the rest of the book of Acts just shows, yep, this is what they did. This is what they were involved in. And so this is what we're going to look at this morning. And as we look at these just very few verses, this isn't where the emphasis is in most churches today. And so we need to go back to the beginning. We need to go back and say, what is the church? And become the simple church of Christ. In verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. I think those first two verses give us a very simple lesson that one of the major parts of the church is a spiritual relationship. It is now a relationship that we have with God through Christ, and it's a relationship that we have one another on a spiritual level. And I think that that's the emphasis on these two verses here. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, what does he mean? Why the apostles' teaching? Again, if it's the church of Christ, why were they devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching? Well, I think it's very simple. You go back to before Jesus died, he said, look, here's what's going to happen in John chapter 16. I'm going to die, and then I'm going to be raised, and then I'm going to go back to my Father. And what's going to happen is I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He called him the Helper. And he said he's going to guide you, the apostles, into all truth. That way you can carry out the work that I have for you to do. That way you can teach that truth to others. His commandment in Matthew chapter 28. Go out into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all that I have commanded you. So the Holy Spirit comes and guides the apostles into all truth, and so they teach the truth to others, and now so on. And so that's an important part. And that's a simple thing to understand. Who are we supposed to be as the church? What is one of our primary purposes? Well, it's the same thing that they did here. They continued devoutly in the apostles' teaching because this was the teaching of God. And so this is where our emphasis needs to be. As a church of Christ, are we continuing in the apostles' teaching? Is our Bible classes focused on us understanding what the truth is and making application to our lives? Are they carried out in such a way that the focus is on the Word of God and not entertainment, not just pleasing people? I'm not saying sometimes studying the Bible and sometimes Bible classes are entertaining to me, I guess you could say. They are fun to me because I we're studying the Word of God together. We're coming to understand the truth together. And that can be fun in one sense. And so I'm not saying that what Bible classes and our worship, this part of our worship where we're studying the Word of God, it's got to be mundane and it's got to be something in which we're just, you know, we're just sitting there quietly, just, you know, waiting for this to finally get over. I'm not saying that's what teaching is supposed to be. But I'm saying you look around at churches today and the focus is all off. Even on, I went to a Bible class with some friends when I was in high school at a, I can't remember what it was called, some type of community church. And they had all these different, they were studying the Bible and the Bible was read in it, but they had all of these different exercises and activities involved with it. And then the teacher asked them a simple question about faith. And there was probably 40 kids in there, teenagers, that should have known this question. And it's just silence. He tries to reword the question. Silence. Nothing. And so what that tells me is with all of their activities, with all the fun that they were having, they were not continuing in the apostles' teaching. They were not doing what one of the main purposes of God's people, of the church, is to do. Is to know God's Word. Brother Benny John talked to us just a few weeks ago about here is eternal life, to know God. And how can we know God except to know His Word? And so one of the simplest things that we can learn about the church is that we are to continue in the apostles' teaching. And that should be so important to us because that's life. That's the center of everything else of who we are as God's people, is knowing Him through His Word. They continued, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. It's probably helpful that when Bill Hall was with us this last week, he talked some about fellowship and about what that word means, and that primarily in the New Testament it had a spiritual connotation, about the spiritual sharing, communion, the spiritual relationship that we have with one another. What does it mean, though, that they continued in fellowship with one another? Well, I want you to get the picture. Here they are on the day of Pentecost. They're hearing the gospel. And here's all these different people from different lands, different backgrounds. And they obey the gospel. And now here they are. Many of them stayed in Jerusalem for a long time after that, even though that wasn't their home place. And all of a sudden, here's this big group of people that has a relationship, that are continuing to work together on a spiritual level, and they have to learn how to work together. They have to learn how to build this relationship with all these different people from different backgrounds, because it's important. It's important to their own spiritual welfare and the spiritual welfare of the other people. They continued in fellowship. And I think part of this is also to explain that is the breaking of bread and of prayer. They not only had this relationship because they all received the Word and were baptized, but now they were coming together. They had fellowship in the spiritual sense, but they came together for a spiritual fellowship, for a communion together when it came to worshiping God. They came together to pray together. They came together to partake of the Lord's Supper together. And this word, fellowship, is used to refer to the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is one of the simple, important points of the New Testament church. They continued worshiping together. They continued growing together. And so, when we look around at the churches today, is the emphasis on them coming together to worship God? Is the emphasis on them coming together to remember what brought them together in the first place, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? There was another church, a large Baptist church in Memphis, where I'm from. They boasted of having about 40,000 members. They have gymnasiums and fields, all kinds of sports teams. They were drawing people in. This is working, this is working. We're bringing people to Christ through sports. But when they signed up to be on the team, one thing that they had to sign up to do is they had to agree that if they were going to be on their sports team, yes, I will come to worship at least twice a month. Was it really working? Was this thing that they were involved in? Oh, we're getting people to become spiritual. It starts out with this sports activity, but then we're bringing them to Christ. But we have to make them sign and say, I'll be there. I'll be there to worship. You know, I imagine there's probably a lot of kids get to the last two Sundays of the month. Oh no, if I don't get to worship, I'm not going to be able to play in the game this week. You know, something along that lines. And so, again, the emphasis was on their spiritual relationship. The emphasis was on their worshiping together. That they were drawn together by Christ, by God. They weren't drawn together by sports. They weren't drawn together by the things of this world. They were drawn together because they were all sinners, worthy of death, and they were saved. So they continued together in this relationship, trying to understand the truth, worshiping God together, praising Him for what He has done for them. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. If you look at the different way that phrase is translated in the different English translation, the word "all" there is a common word translated "fear" in the New Testament. They kept having a sense of fear, this godly respect for what they were involved in. It was something that was greater than this world. Worship was greater than the earthly activities they were involved in. The knowledge that they were learning as they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, that was more important than knowing things about this world. There was a sense of fear. We are involved in something important. We are involved in a relationship with our Creator and in a relationship with one another. They had a spiritual relationship. And this was vital. This was the most important aspect of their relationship in the church. But if we keep on reading, in verse 44, it says, "And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart." I think if you look at these verses, Luke is also saying that these people that were brought together through the gospel of Christ, not only did they have this spiritual relationship, but because they still lived in this world, because they were still people, they had a physical relationship with one another that was tied to their spiritual relationship. And so, but what did that mean? What did this physical relationship mean? It says they were together. They were spending time together. It says they had all things in common. Now, there are some people that misunderstand what this passage means, and there are religious groups that say, well, what this is saying is that they all lived in the same house and they had a farm together and they worked together and all of these things. I imagine probably some Christians did move in together. I imagine there were probably quite a few Christians after this influx of people in the beginning of the church that they probably did share their homes together and maybe work together. But that's not what the passage is talking about. It's because they all had a relationship with Jesus, they understood they all had a relationship with one another. And this manifested in itself of that they spent time together. Because they were eternally tied together, this became the most important relationships that they had. I don't know what the word is, usurp or whatever, their relationship with their families, their business relationship, their friends that they had growing up. Now we're tied together because we are the family of God. And so they were devoted to one another. They had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. So does that mean that if we want to be like the New Testament church, we need to go out today and start selling all our possessions? No. But what it does mean is that as we see a need, if that means I need to sacrifice something that I don't necessarily need so that I can help someone else that does have a need, I'll do it. Because of this relationship that I have with somebody. Now, we look around at the churches today. How have they blown up this aspect of the church? How have they made it into something that it's not? Well, we need to have all of these programs, these welfare programs, not only for members, but for people of the community. We need to build all of these facilities to take care of people and do all of these things. But we're forgetting the fact that the primary aspect of the church is spiritual. And the only reason that there's this physical side to it is because they have a relationship and they're still living in this world. And they understood that they had a need to serve one another. And so it wasn't this big program. It wasn't that they had to develop all these kinds of institutions. It wasn't that they had to start making some big deal out of it. It's, this brother has a need. I'm going to take care of it. Here's several widows in Acts chapter 6 that they need needs taken care of. That was a little bit bigger project than just helping out one person. And so what do? Well, here's some men among the church, and we're going to make sure this need gets taken care of. And so there was this physical relationship, but it was always fulfilled in a simple way. But we get on both levels, on the spiritual side and on the physical side, we get so caught up in developing all of these programs and having all of these ideas and making these big deals out of things, and we lose track of what was the focus to begin with. And it's always... it always needs to go back to Jesus. But when we lose track, somehow Jesus gets lost in the middle of all of our programs and all of our ideas and all of these things. And so, the church, there was a spiritual relationship. There was a physical relationship. They were eating together. I think breaking bread back in verse 42 in the context of what he's talking about is clearly the Lord's Supper. But then you go down to verse 46, and on a daily basis, anytime you might find Christians in one another's house eating a meal together. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. They were glad. Not only did they have a spiritual relationship, but they had a special physical relationship with other Christians. But finally, in verse 47, it says they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And again, here's another aspect of it. Not only do we have a relationship with God, not only do we have a relationship with one another, but we have a special relationship or responsibility toward the rest of the world. Jesus told them, go out into all the world and teach the other people that don't have the truth yet. You teach them the truth so they can teach others. And they can teach others. And my kingdom can grow. This is what I want. I want everybody to know the truth. I want everybody to be able to be saved. Not everybody's going to accept it, but this is our responsibility, our duty to the rest of the world. How did they carry this out? They developed fancy evangelistic programs. They had all of these tricks and gimmicks to be able to get people to know the truth. They had these meals that they invited people to. They had these fun sports activities or all of these things to get people. No, that's not what we see in the book of Acts. What did they do? Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, even in the midst of persecution, they went out and they were preaching the word. As everywhere they went, I'm a disciple of Jesus. Let me tell you why. You should want to be one too. And we see that all throughout the book of Acts. It's just people going out and saying, God saved me and He'll save you too. If you'll just believe and you'll just follow His word. We have that responsibility, but we need to be careful that we don't get so caught up in, oh, this would be a good idea. This would be great. And then somehow the gospel gets lost in it all. And where's the power? The reason those sports activities weren't working at that church, and the reason a lot of these programs, they're pulling people in, sure, they can boast of these huge memberships, but the reason they're not developing spiritual people is because they don't have any power in those things. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the fact that Jesus died for my sins. He was buried and He was raised from the dead. And many people saw Him, witnessed to that, and they were willing to die confessing that they witnessed Jesus rose from the dead. That's the gospel. That's where the power is, not in any gimmick I can come up with to draw people in. I'm not saying that all methods, programs, whatever you want to call it, of evangelism are wrong. I'm just saying we need to be careful that we don't get lost in our ideas and forget about, it's really very simple. Take the gospel. They don't want to hear it, okay. But they might. Don't make that decision before you ever talk to them about it. Day by day, the Lord was adding to their number those who were being saved. They were having favor with all the people. And so I would suggest to you that these three parts, although there's a lot of details that have to be worked out in all of them, this is the simple church of Christ. We have a spiritual relationship with God and one another. And that's the priority above everything else. The priority is the spiritual relationship. But because we live in this world, we also have a physical relationship with one another. And we should be motivated to love one another and serve one another and help one another. And we also have a responsibility, a duty to the world because God has shown grace to us. And we should be the tool, the method in which He can show grace and the gospel to other people. That's it. That's the simplicity of the Church of Christ. And when we get back to those basics, that's when you start seeing things happen. That's when you start seeing the wisdom of God. That's when you start seeing growth. There's a lesson, I think it's what we're going to look at next Sunday in this line. We're going to look through the book of Acts and maybe a couple other places in the New Testament where it said the church grew, the church increased. And we're going to notice what happened. What happened that caused the church to increase. And I think you're going to be very surprised at the things that led to growth in the early church. But they had the focus in the right places. Do we? Does the Highway 157 have our focus on our spiritual relationship with God and with one another? Are we devoted to God and to one another? Do we understand our physical relationship and responsibilities to one another? And do we understand the responsibility we have to share the gospel with the rest of the world? That's the church, or at least what I see when I look at the Bible. I hope it's been helpful to you, and I hope that we can take these things and we can become exactly what God wants us to be. Just the way it was back at the beginning. But again, like we talked about this morning, if you go back to the beginning, when the gospel was preached, how did someone become a member of Christ's church? How were they added to the body? What did they have to do? Well, they had to hear the gospel. They had to believe. They had to receive the message and accept it. They couldn't take bits and parts of it. They had to say, I believe this was the truth and I'm going to follow Jesus now. They had to repent of their sins. As I learn the things involved in my life that are wrong, I'm going to put those things to death. Those are no longer going to be a part of my life. And I have to commit all of this by being buried with Christ in baptism. That's where I enter into His death, and that's where I enter into His body, the church. If you haven't done that this morning, I hope that you will make the decision to do that. And if you're a Christian already, and you understand that somewhere along the way you've lost your focus, or maybe you recognize we as a group have lost our focus, then let's talk about it. Let's do what's necessary to be who God wants us to be and not what anybody else wants us to be. And so I hope it's helpful, and I hope if there's some way that we can help you, that you'll come right now as we sing this song.